We're looking again at lining up with God's Word to receive healing. And we've been using a foundational scripture from that we've been looking at lately is from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And it's really been a foundation. We've been talking specifically, you know, in areas, one of the things, things we must believe, and we must believe that God is a healer, that God, that's His intent and purpose, and it's God's will to heal you. That is His will, that's His intent, that's His purpose, is to heal you. And there's no way really to believe, to have faith or to believe God unless you believe that. I mean, if a person can know that, say, yeah, I believe God can heal, but that doesn't really do you any good from the faith standpoint. From the faith standpoint, you must believe that He is willing to do to heal you. And so we're looking at that. Also, we got over in the areas with Hebrews 11, the 6th says, without faith it's impossible to please God. And we're looking at the areas we talked about faith. In other words, faith is where the will of God is known. So if I don't know what God's will is for a certain thing that I'm believing Him for, if I don't know what He has said about it, or He has spoken in His Word that tells me that it belongs to me, if I don't know that, then I could not stand in faith. Well, therefore, I couldn't please God if I prayed and asked Him about that, and I asked Him for it. There was no way I could please Him because I couldn't be in faith. And I know some years ago, talking to some guys who, you know, they were sort of knocking me in the fact of that I, you know, believe in God, the healing and all that stuff. And I asked them, I said, well, in your church, do you take prayer requests for people healing? And they said, oh, yeah, we do. And I said, well, why do you do it? I said, if you don't believe God can heal the person, I said, you know, you don't believe He's going to do it. I said, the Bible says, you know, that faith, concerning faith, if a person doesn't believe, you know, if a person's not acting in faith, it's a sin. And I said, if you're praying for God to do something and you don't believe He's going to do it, I mean, I said, what worthless thing? I said, you know, you perpetrate a hoax on people. You're going through a form. And I mean, these guys were noted for going around knocking the Catholics all the time. And I told them, I said, my words, I said, the Catholics at least believe God will do a miracle. I said, you don't. I said, they're ahead of you. I said, at least they have a supernatural God and you got a dead one. You got one you don't know if He's going to do anything for you. So, you know, one must believe, in other words, to operate in areas of faith, you have to know that it's the will of God. And so we have here, so you need faith to please God. And it said, he who comes to God must believe that He is. And we talked about that. He is. He is what you're asking for. Whatever you ask Him for, He is that, or He is going to do that. That's what you need to know. So that really leaves us in the area of true faith. And he said that, you got to believe this. In other words, you must believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In other words, a person who comes to God and prays and asks for something and then doesn't believe He's going to give it to them, you know, he doesn't believe that, then he doesn't. This scripture here is a meaningless thing to that individual. It doesn't mean anything. And from a religious standpoint, so we've been teaching on God and His generosity and His giving, and God is a giver. We went through a lot of things in the Word about that. We begin now going through illustrations of Jesus, people in the areas of healing, and people coming to Jesus, and we did a number of them. Last week, we had done to a woman with the issue of blood, and last week we talked about the guy with the centurion who came to Jesus. We looked how God worked there with him. We're going to look over now, and we want to look at the area of something we used before and talked about the same incidents, but we want to look at it in the light of what we've been teaching now. So, and look at Luke, the 5th chapter. And it's important because, you know, many times, this is one thing is where the scriptures are really alive, because you can teach, take the same scriptures and teach numbers of different things from it because you look at it from different aspects. Kenneth Hagin used to always use the illustration of, he said, climbing a mountain. He said, when you get to the top of a mountain, he said, there's more than one view. And so lots of times in scriptures is that way. You look at a scripture, it has different views to it. Now those views are not contrary to one another. Those views should have line up with each other. And so if they're scriptural, they're going to. But we want to look at this scriptural. We want to look here in Luke the 5th chapter, verse 17. And we're going to talk about the man who was paralyzed, who was brought by his friends to Jesus, but we want to look at in the light of God being the giver and what this man did in the light of what this scripture we have in Hebrews 11:6, and we want to look at this. Now, it's verse 17 starts and says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal." I want to stop there. We talked about this before, but I want you to always get this thing. It says the power of the Lord was present to heal. See, when most people read that, and I've known over time, I've listened to people teach about this, and I've watched people, you know, deal with the areas of trying, you know, they almost like, you know, act like that the power of God's not always present to heal. In other words, you know, well, the, you know, a lot of times what people are talking about, when I listened to Kenneth Hagin's teaching about years ago, back in the past, when he was coming up in the areas of teaching faith, when he started doing that, and really in the 50s is when he really started, when God had spoke to him, and I don't know if that was 1948, told him to start teaching. He said, "Teach my people faith," and that's what he wanted him to do. And he began to do that, and into the 50s he started to do that, and he talked about ministries at that time, and he said even like into the healing revivals of the 50s, that many people, they didn't know a thing about ministering to people by faith, to lay hands on people by faith. They only knew about operating under gifts of the Spirit, operating under gifts of healing, or operating, you know, somebody had a special healing anointing. God does that. You know, Bible talks about how Peter, God gave him a special anointing, that even his shadow fell on people, they were healed. It talks about special anointings and their operation. And we need to know this. There's a difference between, like, sometimes, I mean, I've ministered already where the healing anointing came on me. Now, when you're ministering out of that anointing. It isn't by faith like you're just ministering off the word by faith. I mean, there is a manifestation of the anointing. See, this is where many people get it wrong, and here's where a lot of people really mess up. They talk about people having, they category all healing in the areas of gifts of healing. That's not true at all. If all healing was operating in the gifts of, under the gifts of healing, then we know this. Healing would not operate all the time. It couldn't. Because it says the gifts of healing, it says concerning them that they operate as the Spirit wills. Yet Jesus told the disciples to preach the gospel, and those who would believe the gospel, these signs will follow them. They'll lay hands on the sick. It said they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It didn't say as the Spirit wills. He said, you just go do that in my name. See, we can operate in faith in the name of Jesus at any time and pray over a person by faith. Now understand, is praying by faith over an individual, when you're doing that, you should be sharing them the scriptures, bringing them to a place of faith to pray for them. So you're doing it by faith. And you have the authority to do that in the name of Jesus. You have the authority to be healed is in the name of Jesus. You lay hands on them in Jesus' name. And so that's one of the things as we preach the gospel. Kenneth Hagin talked about the fact, he said, I had more notable miracles, he said, in a church that I pastored, he said, where we just minister in the areas of faith with no special anointing, than, he said, the churches who operated under gifts of the Spirit. He said, we had more notable miracles. Well, see, he taught people to believe God. Well, if people believe in God, you know, lots of times people under gifts of the Spirit, they may not be believing a thing. They can get healed and not really believe much of anything. See, that's why many people go, it's like, you take Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn operates under gifts of healing. Many people, when he goes to his meetings, get healed. They have no faith for healing at all. They're surprised it happens. They're just totally shocked it took place. They're just, and that's why, but yet it's the same point. There are people that go there who do know how to operate in faith, and they do, but not everybody does. And so it's bringing people to the place of faith to believe God to operate under. If you learn to operate by faith, you can be healed at any time. But the power of the Lord is always present to heal. It's always present. It's just whether or not people respond to it. If we as believers were told that we could lay hands on the sick and they'd recover, then wherever I go, the power of the Lord's present to heal. It's there present. I can do it. That's what the Lord told me years ago. He said to me that. He said, whenever you lay hands on somebody to pray for their minister healing, he said, the power of the Lord's present. He said, it is, whether they get healed or not. He said, some will take it, some don't. He said, but it's always present. Whether people feel it or don't feel it, it doesn't matter. It's present. So you operate by faith. And he told me, he said, you lay hands on them. It's up to them whether or not they hook up with it. It's not yours. He said, that's not yours. That's between me and them. He said, your job is go. It's always present. And so they went there, and he said, they're showing this. Its power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, we know this. Now, there is, it's an impossibility. If Jesus did so much healing, in which he did a ton of healing. If anything he did healing. So we know this, that the crowd that's there, there's people sick. Yet we don't see where there's anybody has any manifestation of anything. Nobody has a manifestation of nothing. In other words, the power of the Lord present to heal, we don't get any kind of idea there was any kind of feeling that people could feel or sense that or know that. I've been already around the presence, you know, of God. There has been a strong healing anointing. I've been sitting in services and that stuff where people are ministering, and I mean, I can sense that anointing. Because operating over the area of healing, I always did. And when I get around that, lots of times I sense that anointing. In a sense, it comes on me. I can sense that anointing on me because it's in operation. It's like Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin would get over. I could tell sometimes. I could tell like when Brother Hagin many times was going to prophesy or something. Because God uses me in that area. That spirit of prophecy would start working. I'd know it before he'd ever start to prophesy. I could sense that. I could sense that God was going to say something. And you get around those anointings. So sometimes you can sense that. But we don't have any sense here that anybody knew anything. And I think the scripture tells us this, that it's present. Nobody's responding by faith. And here's the thing of faith. See, most people are acting on just what they can feel, what they can see, those kinds of things. But we're going to find out that there's these group that comes along, these guys come along, and they're operating in a totally different thinking. They're operating totally different than the rest of the people that are there. They're operating differently. Why? Because they're walking by faith. They are not there. They're not walking by what they see, feel, or anything. Because if you could feel the healing anointing, I'm sure people would have been, "Woo, let's get, you know, we're going to get healed." Hallelujah. But they're not doing that. In fact, everybody's sitting around. They're listening to him teaching. It says the power of God was present to heal. And so it says here, it says, then behold, men brought, verse 18, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. So here they did. They went there. Now understand, here's the, look at faith in action. This is faith in action. These guys are believing. Now here again, remember me talking about teaching. How about everybody that we're looking at, they get healed how they chose. They don't get healed how Jesus chose, do they? What do these guys do? You know, we looked at the centurion. He said, you don't have to come to my house, just say the word. You just say he's healed and he'll be healed. You know what? These guys could have operated on that. And say, well, why didn't they? They might have not heard that preached. They may not. See, you can only have faith. You can only have faith as far as you understand and comprehend. You see, that guy who was a centurion had a revelation about authority that the Jews didn't have. Because he said, I never found such faith in all Israel. Jews didn't have the revelation. He had a revelation about authority. The Jews didn't understand authority. They were always bucking it. They were always fighting authority. That's one thing we deal here in America. Most people in America know nothing about authority. All we do is fight authority all the time. And that's why we have a lot of the problems that we do in the areas of faith in the church world. The church world, that's why it stops a lot of the manifestations of the Spirit never happen because people buck authority. They don't understand how to respond to authority. They fight it. You know, they're always knocking authority. They need to understand that. Well, they didn't understand about authority, but these men had heard. In other words, they wanted to get him in the presence of Jesus. They knew if he got to Jesus, in other words, Jesus to minister to him, he would be healed. So their intent was this. We got to get him into Jesus' presence. So they're operating on their faith where they're at. See, they're going to do, in other words, they don't have a choice. If they want this guy healed, they're going to have to get him into the presence of Jesus. They aren't trying to be different. That's why they go up on the roof. We can't get in the door. The place is packed. We can't get him in. And so we could say this. I mean, we look at it in this way. These people comes with a guy who's a paralytic, and you know what? People are generally like you are today. You know, they ain't going to give up their seat to let the guy get in there and get healed. They're all going to... I'm here. I love, you know, these people, they're sitting, and you know, a lot of them, they don't understand. That's why they never get nothing. You know, they don't ever get nothing, because they ain't ever helping nobody else get nothing. So these guys got to get inside. So what they do, they decide, well, you know what? We're going to go up on the roof and we're going to take the tiling out of the roof. We're going to get him. You know, the guys probably knew where, oh, hey, Jesus is sitting over there. We go up here in this area over here. We take the roof off this thing. So they went up there, and I understand they didn't have roofs like we have. You know, they wouldn't go up on a pitched roof. You know, they were flat roofs. They went up on the roof, took the tiling out to drop him down through the roof. And they dropped him down. That's what they were going to do, to put him down in the roof. Now, Jesus said this, and this is the most simple thing. It says, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now, but what did it say there? He said he saw their faith. He saw their faith. Now, so in other words, what he saw, what they were believing about him. He saw that. He saw by what they did. And understand that with you. You can see whether you have faith. Are you doing, are your actions coinciding with what you said you believe? See, that's hugely important. This is where most people miss it. This is where most people, a lot of people are saying the guy don't have faith. Yeah, he believes what the people believe what the Bible says, but they're not doing what the Bible says. They're doing, you know, oh, I tell you what, I believe I'd get down to Benny Hinn's service, I'd get healed under, but they never go. Ah, it's just too far away. I wish he'd just come near here so I could go. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if he ain't being scheduled, what are you going to do? Benny Hinn ain't going to everybody's place. He can't possibly do that. And there's no reason for him to do that. People can believe the word, be healed. But if a person believes they have to get in his presence, to me, it's beyond me that some ignoramus would actually believe that and then not. I'll tell you what, if I was sick and I really needed healed, I mean, I'll tell you, I'd go anywhere to get it. I mean, people will run all over the nation to go to doctors all over the place, spend fortunes to do all kinds of things, turn around and end up bankrupt over trying to get to a doctor. And I've watched Christians do it, and won't deal with the areas of things of God and healing, but they'll chase every doctor, every place. You know, some woman years ago, and I did her funeral and that stuff, and trying to get her over the area of believing things and getting her to go do some stuff. She would not do it, but she turned around, went to California to out there to a clinic to try, and went some other place and try. And I'm thinking, out here spending the money, but it was going to cost too much to go out here and sit in Kenneth Hagin's healing school. You know, it's like, my God, running around doing all that stuff. Going, and people amaze me. They say, we believe in healing. And I sit there and say, I don't see no faith. See, I'll guarantee you, that woman believed in the healing power of God. But it couldn't produce anything for her because of what she did. Couldn't produce anything because she wasn't doing nothing to produce. It was her actions were not coinciding with her thing. That's one of the things the Lord told me years ago. Spoke to me about people, why people weren't getting healed. Some people in church weren't getting healed. He said they're not operating toward divine healing. He said they come and ask you to lay hands on them. They say they're going to believe God's going to heal him. But he said their plan is to go to the doctor. He said if they go to the doctor, I want to help them. But he said they need to get over. He said their actions aren't corresponding. So he said, tell people if they're going to go to the doctor, believe for them for a quick recovery. And when they go to the doctor and do whatever, they'll get a quick recovery. But see, they're over here. Their actions are saying, I'm believing for this healing. And he told me it don't work for them. He said, because he said they have a doctor's appointment and they're going to go to it tomorrow. He said, they're not going to act in things that they believe they received their healing that day. They're going to go act like they didn't. They're still trying to get it. So he said, you tell them, if they go to the doctor, to have me pray for them for that. Nothing wrong with it. If that's where you believe you have to go, well, then you do it. But then you get God working in that way. Start believing where Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, you pray for people for a quick recovery. And he got, and Jesus said, I'll give him a quick recovery. I'll help him recover quick. And so that's why it's people getting into their right thinking. See, they weren't walking in line with what they said. That's why it's so important to see this. Jesus said he saw their faith. This is nothing weird. This isn't Jesus could see something that was hard for somebody else to see. Anybody who understood faith could have seen this. Anybody who understood faith. And this is why a lot of people don't understand faith. There's things you must do. Well, these guys are operating in line with it. They believe that Jesus is the healer. They believe Jesus will heal. They believe if they get this guy, their friend, into the presence of Jesus, he will be healed. So this is no big thing. This is not any kind of special, oh, believe in God. You know, these other people, they believed God could heal, but they didn't believe, they were not acting in any way that they thought that they were going to get it. They're acting in no way. They're sitting out there acting like they're not. You know, you take blind Bartimaeus, he's there, Lord God, have mercy on me. In other words, he believed he needed to get in the presence of Jesus. They're telling him to shut up. He ain't going to shut up. His faith is an action. Jesus can hear this man's faith. He can hear. Faith can be heard. Faith can be seen. Jesus said, come on, bring that guy into my presence. He said, you believe I can do what you said? He said, sure enough. Jesus said, well, the way you believe, you got it. It's yours. He didn't stop and hold a big prayer meeting over him. He didn't pray and fast or do nothing. He didn't make blind Bartimaeus pray and fast either. He did it. So the power of God's present to heal. Just think about this. These guys believe that. They can't see a thing or hear a thing. They believe it. Aren't they acting like the power of God's present to heal? They don't have any special feeling or anything special. Jesus didn't send them a special letter of invitation to healing. You know, they got this, you know, special correspondence from a certain ministry. And we're sending this to you. We're not sending it out to everybody. You've been chosen specially. I have a place I file them. It's called the garbage can. I don't understand why a minister who says he believes God don't have the fear of lying. That bothers me. You know, there's ministers I've never set in one of their services. I've never given an offering to one of them. And I get letters in the mail, you've been especially chosen, and that kind of stuff, and say, yeah, I've been especially chosen. So you've been especially lying, just trying to get money. This is what this thing is. And you'll send this thing out. Say, man. Say, buddy, one day you're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to call you out. He's going to ask you about all this lying you did to people. Hold it. These men didn't get a special letter. They believed Jesus was a healer. They believed. You know, it's funny, they believe what they heard about Jesus, but also they probably, you know, whatever people talked about Jesus' ministry, I don't know if they had seen Jesus minister before or whatever else, but they just believed it was so. You know, I've often wondered why some people will so easily believe that God would do for them what he does for others, and why others, it is just so hard to get them to believe. You know, they could sit down, there's people, you could sit down, you could sit them in a Benny Hinn service and they could watch thousands of people get healed, walk up, give their testimony, and they'll still sit out there in doubt. And they're born again. To me, I have a hard time relating to that. And they'll say, well, God will heal me in his time, and you just like to walk up and smack them on the head and say, could you please wake up? Is there anything between those ears beside a pea rolling around? Is there anything in there? What did you just witness? What did you just hear? But they're in unbelief of all of it. They never believe any of it. These guys come along. If they can get into Jesus' presence, Jesus does something. And understand, Jesus says this. He said, I don't say anything. And we talked about this before and looked at the scriptures. Jesus said he didn't say anything that the Father didn't say. Now, that's interesting. Now, understand, Jesus is being led by the Spirit in what he said. See, most people, here they're looking at it, he's going to say, you're healed. He didn't say that at first. He said to this guy, your sins are forgiven you. Why would he make a statement of such? And why would Jesus, is he out just forgiving this man of his sin? He's not forgiving others? this guy is coming by faith. You need to understand, they can see his faith. This thing's an operation of faith. A guy's operating in faith toward God, and God operates toward this man and speaks through Jesus Christ, and your sins are forgiven you. He said, your sins. In other words, this guy's coming to Jesus by faith. You come to Jesus by faith, you can get any old thing you want. You can get whatever you want if you're a person of faith. And he told this man, why? This man has approached Jesus. If we read and we would study all through about Jesus and his healing, people believe that God was working through him. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was healed and said the people would glorify God. In other words, they knew. Nicodemus said, nobody could do the things you do unless God's with them. When people responded to Jesus, they're responding to God. When you respond to Jesus Christ, you're responding to God the Father. You're responding to Him. That's like salvation. You can't get to the Father except you through Jesus. When you respond to Jesus Christ by faith, God will do anything for you. The Father would give you anything. Didn't we? Haven't we read that in the Scripture? You can ask anything in His name. Anything. God will give it to you. When you show up to God by faith, there ain't nothing withheld from you. See, you need to understand that. This man shows up by faith. This is a revelation for these people, but they don't take it as a revelation. You respond to Jesus by faith. You treat Jesus. This is why I have watched this over the years. I've watched people who weren't Christians who got more out of God than Christians could because they treated Jesus Christ with respect when Christians would not. I watch Christians around and that stuff and listen to how frivolous they are about their Christianity. And I've seen sinners that would never say things that Christians say, have more respect for the things of God and wouldn't touch it than Christians act so frivolously about the things of God. And see, these men came, this faith, well, they're having faith. They believe that God works through Jesus Christ. They don't know He's the Son of God. They're not operating there believing he's healing them because they're the Son of God. He's not. He has anointed. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He has a Holy Ghost anointing from God. And they're responding to that. And by responding, Jesus said, went and told the disciples that whoever responds, he said, when they respond to you, they respond to me. He said, when you respond to me, you're responding to the Father. See, these guys are coming responding to Jesus Christ as He's sent from God. They're honoring God. These men are honored. They believe He's a prophet sent by God. That's what they're believing. And they're believing that God uses Him to heal. And if they can get in His presence, they get healed. You know what? These men probably have heard and probably have seen and never seen anybody turned down by Jesus Christ. They've never heard a message that, except if they went to some what they call fundamental churches, God don't heal everybody. You know? Would you sit and listen under those teachings? If they listen to those kind of teachings, they wouldn't be doing this. They would not be doing this kind of thing. They couldn't act in this way because they wouldn't know. You don't go tear the roof off when you don't know. Say, man, it's a waste of time because we went to fix this roof and we ain't got nothing. What a waste of time. These guys are going to get something and they know it. They know when they get this guy into his presence. And so Jesus said, look, your sins are forgiven you. And really, wonderful revelation. It says, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? Most of the church believes that too. Jesus told the disciples that whosoever sin they remit would be remitted, and whose they didn't, it wouldn't be remitted. That's what He said. Didn't it? Was that true or not? You see, we got such religious teaching in the church world today. You know, I can tell anyone, if a person comes to Christ, I can tell them the person comes to Christ, their sins will be remitted. Wouldn't they? I can tell them their sins will be remitted. Your sins will be forgiven you. Yet people act nutty about you. Who are you? You can't forgive sin. You're not God. I'm sorry, but I'm God's representative. People, look. If I can't forgive sin, then I can't heal either. God ain't going to use me for healing. He told us to lay hands on the sick. They recover. He told us to do that stuff. See, we're ambassadors of His name, aren't we? We're ambassadors. Where's Jesus at? Jesus literally is seated at the right hand of the Father. Literally. Jesus isn't physically in Ed Gibson. Jesus is in Ed Gibson through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in Jesus, in me is just as if Jesus Christ Himself dwells in me, and I can literally say this. Is it in a sense by proxy that Jesus is in me? Well, the Holy Ghost in me, the Holy Ghost is just like Jesus. So the Bible says this, that then Jesus Christ enlists me. And it's the same as having God the Father in me. You have one part of the Godhead in you, you got the whole thing, because it's all the same. The Holy Ghost is not going to act any different. Now, if Jesus said, now I made you my representatives, you're seated in heavenly places in me, are we truly His representative in the earth and we carry out what He wants? Or is this sort of a fake thing that we're talking about? See, the church really believes in sort of a fake thing. We talk about this stuff, but we don't see. The church, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and called them Christ. That's what he said. He called them Christ. The church is Christ in the earth. Jesus ain't in the earth other than through believers. There ain't no Jesus in the earth. Jesus ain't here. Jesus said, I'm leaving and you need to have me leave. He left. Jesus Christ is not in the earth by physical being. But Ed Gibson in the earth with Christ, with the Holy Ghost in him, Jesus is in the earth. Why? In representation in Ed Gibson. The earth will see no more Jesus Christ than through the church. Not one single iota bit. Nothing. It's just like this man. These guys came to Jesus. They're running into God. Why? Jesus is God's representative in the earth. To get to Jesus is get to God. And it's the same thing. People in the earth ain't getting to God except through the church. The church is God's representatives. It's the representatives, Jesus Christ, in the earth. Salvation don't come in through any other way. See, now you get over talking this. Most Christians are the Pharisees and the scribes. You're blaspheming. No, I'm not blaspheming. I'm the representative of Jesus Christ. What Paul wrote to church in Corinth and says, you're ambassadors for Christ. We represent Jesus Christ here. There's no representation of Jesus Christ in the earth except through the church. There is zero representation. They will see no more of Jesus Christ than comes through the church. If God doesn't manifest Himself through the church, if Jesus isn't manifested through it, well then God is the problem of why people down here don't see Jesus. But see, as long as the church feels that somehow we're something else, we're there's Jesus, but we're old groveling guys down here, build me a little log cabin in the corner of glory land kind of stuff, old humble me, it's old stupid me, it's old dumb me to think that. We represent Jesus Christ in the earth. We've been called. We cast out demons. God will never cast out a demon. No demon will ever get cast out in this earth if a saint doesn't do it. And we do it off of the representation of Jesus Christ. You didn't defeat Satan. He did. Yet I can cast him out. He won't cast a one of them out. He gave me His name. I cast them out. None of them leave. Because of God. They all leave because of the representation of the church. The church walks under the authority that we're given. These guys see Jesus Christ as an authority in here. He has the authority from God. He's been given authority. He forgives sin. And so these people are astounded that He's doing this. These guys come. We don't find that there's any questioning in the guys. I would imagine the guy who was there got his sins. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. There's nothing here that says in scriptures that he doubted a thing. That he stopped and said, oh my God, this guy's blaspheming over me. No, these are religious people. Religiously brainwashed. Religiously taught rather than scripturally taught. They don't understand and know. They don't get it. And so they look at this guy, as he's being fraudulent. So Jesus makes a statement. He says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts. Now here, understand this. We really do see a manifestation of the word of knowledge here taking place. This is a manifestation of a gift because it said he perceived our thoughts. You and I, Jesus operated as a man, not under God. Jesus did not walk around and know everybody's thoughts, because I can show you in scriptures where he didn't know people's thoughts. He didn't know what people were thinking or doing. He didn't walk around knowing what everybody's doing. In this instant, he perceived what their thoughts were. He got a perception of their thoughts. That operates under a word of knowledge. I've had that happen to me. I've had it happen to me already. All of a sudden, I knew what a person was thinking. I said to them what they were thinking. They said, well, how'd you know that? It came to, well, I can't go around reading people's thoughts. No, you know, I ain't some mind reader. If the word of knowledge hadn't come to me, I would not have known. I wouldn't have known a thing. I only got that through the word of knowledge operated, but it was so I could minister to them. Now understand, this is where most people miss it in gifts of the Spirit. They think gifts of the Spirit come to make them look good. They don't come to make you look good. No gift of the Spirit will come into operation except to help somebody. This is why many people never have gifts of the Spirit, because they want them for the wrong reason. They're for ministry. They're for ministry to people. They're to help somebody. Jesus, these guys are looking religious, but Jesus isn't trying to turn around and give them a slam. Jesus is going to give them a revelation. He's going to give them a revelation from heaven, because what they're believing here is keeping them from receiving from God. He wants to give them a revelation so they can start getting something from heaven. So he tells them this. He perceived their thoughts. They were thinking this is blasphemy. He said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? So in their hearts, this is the thoughts of the heart. These are thoughts out of the head, intents of the heart. They believe that that nobody can do this thing. They believe he's doing blasphemy. They believe he's a man. And he is. Jesus is operating 100% as a man. They say, how can a man do this? This is where Jesus speaks to them. He asks a question. So he asks a question. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk. He asked the question, which is the easiest to do? See, the intent, here's what Jews think. Jews at this time, they thought healing surely would have been an easier thing to do than forgive sin. Forgiving sin is a big hard thing to do. We have the exact opposite today. Everybody believes getting sin forgiven. You start talking healing, my God. You know, they'll call you blasphemer if you tell them God will heal everybody. Don't they? Would they call you a blasphemer if you said God, anybody get their sins forgiven? God forgives everybody their sin. Oh, sure enough. Yeah. See, we run in the exact opposite today. So, he said, well, which is the easiest to do? He's going to show them, and here's a revelation. Get this revelation. Now understand, these guys coming, this revelation is not for the guys coming for the guy's healing. This is revelation given to the people sitting there that ain't getting nothing. He's telling them why they ain't getting nothing. Why they aren't doing what these guys did. Why things aren't working. He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. He said, I want you to know this. I'm going to prove. In other words, I'm going to give you the proof that I have power to forgive sin. How's that going to be? He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. In other words, healing was the proof that God, that Jesus Christ could forgive sin. It was the proof. Healing was. See, we look at why do they call healing the dinner bell to salvation? Why do they go out and have healing evangelists, guys like Benny Hinn? They do what they do. It's to get people to come to Christ. They go out. That's why a true evangelist will have signs and wonders. A true evangelist, you'll see manifestations and gifts of healings and stuff operate through them. What? To bring people to Christ. To get people to believe in Jesus, that Jesus Christ is alive. Manifestations. See, Israel, Jesus comes along with his healing ministry. Man, these Jews ain't seen for a whole long time. They haven't seen nothing like this. They haven't seen nothing like this for generations. You know, they're out here, many of them are wondering if God is real. Is there a God in heaven or isn't there? God becomes real. See, you cannot have, it's just like, in the book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus, if you, in the things that were written in there by Kenyon, Kenyon talks about, you know, with the healing revival. He said there has never been, in the history of the church, any significant revival has ever taken place without the miraculous. It never takes place. It's through the miraculous people see that God is alive, that God still intervenes among men. See, we don't have today, we don't have that. People are today, we can make mega churches today and not ever have one miracle. And that's why so much sin is in the churches, because God's not real or alive. People don't think He sees what goes on and what happens. He's not real. When God shows up, He becomes real to people, that He is alive, that He is around. People today don't know that God's around. They don't know He's around anywhere. And see, signs and wonders, God ain't going to stop signs and wonders. That's never going to end. People say it ends. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people ain't going to get saved, and God has definitely left the salvation business. And so this is one of the things. Signs and wonders make God real. He said, look, I'm going to prove to you that I have the power to forgive sin. I'm going to heal. Healing is the proof of God's forgiveness. I've seen it many times where people had a hard time about the area and God forgiving them. Signs and wonders took place and they've got to see God move, and it changed their heart because they said God was real. He became real to them. They saw God. He became real. You know, we need, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but we need to understand that if you never saw anything, if anything I ever believed for I never saw ever take place or things never happened, if you sit around and say, well, I believe God for miracles and never see any miracles or never see nothing happen. You know, people say, oh, I believe God wants me well, but they never get well. I will guarantee you they will never maintain their faith for healing. They'll never maintain it. Impossible. It's totally impossible. I don't believe in faith and not showing up. I don't believe in that kind of faith. I believe that's the devil talking, and people believe in that kind of junk. I believe in things showing up. It's one thing. There's nothing more that will encourage your faith. Why would God tell Israel to remind them constantly of the miracles that He did? Constantly remind him of what? God's real. God's alive. You know. Signs and wonders. And see, signs and wonders are real. God wants us, you know, many times I'm inspired about things. If I'm standing believing God, and I remind myself of things God did for me. This showed, I believe God stood for this, and He did this for me. God did this for me, and He did that for me. And to remind myself of those things to encourage my faith, my God's alive. Many people have a dead God. They only have stories of other people getting something. They don't have their own stories. We're supposed to have, you know, our testimony of Jesus Christ isn't how we got saved. The testimonies of Jesus Christ is what He did. That's the testimonies. They aren't the fact the day I got saved. Most people think I told my people a testimony how I got saved. That ain't a testimony of how, that ain't your testimony. That you're telling a person something, you got saved. But your testimony that God's alive are the things He did. The testimonies of Israel were the things that God did, not the fact that they got saved. You know, that they went, they didn't go, tell us a testimony of your God. Oh, we took blood into the holies of holies and put it on the thing and He forgave our sins for a year. Yep, that was it. Aha. People go, yeah, okay. Dead God behind the curtain. This is what people do. They just tell them the day that they got saved. That's why when I tell people about me getting saved, I talk how I got miraculously turned around. The supernatural God did. God turned me into another person. See, but they talk about, oh, the day I got my sin forgiven. I want to tell them about the day it changed my life. You get your sin forgiven and not have a changed life at all. Hallelujah. My Jesus changed his life. There was miraculous took place. And so you have this testimony. And this is what Jesus is telling. Jesus is going to give them proof. How would you know your sins are forgiven if you've never had proof of anything? This is why so many Christians have a hard time following things. That's why as a kid, they'd give their testimonies in church and they'd stand up and say, please pray for me that I might hold out true to the end. That's why they were saying that. They had no proof. You let that person get a proof and God move in their life and they'll stand up. And I realized this. There were older saints that were in the church that knew about moves of God that the ones that when I was a kid did not. And those people, they never testified like that. They talked about a real God.
because they weren't following somebody else's story. See, most people only have somebody else's story to follow about Jesus. I thank God for this book, but I got my own book. I got my own miracle. I've run into Jesus myself. I could write things down. My encounter with Jesus. We read these things of others' encounters with Jesus, and sure, they're good, and we want them because they help us immensely. But we're supposed to have our own encounters. God wants you to have your own encounter with Jesus. Hallelujah. And see, this personal God. These guys came to Jesus and expected an impersonal encounter. They expected an impersonal encounter with God. And they get one. They got more than they asked for. I've learned this with God. If you go to God in an area of faith and you'll stand, the Word says this, He'd give you exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. Paul prayed that for the church at Ephesus. He said, now unto Him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that's within us. He'll do exceedingly abundantly. In other words, I step out in faith as far as I can and He goes over that. Did this guy get more than what he came for? Praise God. See, this is what he responded in faith, and because of his response in faith, he got more than he asked for. And see, that's our God. That's what he'll do. He got more. These guys sat around and said, hey, you can't do this. Jesus said, look, I'm going to prove to you guys. I'm going to prove to you. And he says the guy, he tells him to get up, walk. He goes, go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, departed to his own house, glorifying God. And it says, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Now, isn't that interesting? We saw something strange. They didn't get it. Do you realize that? Now, they glorified God. They saw. Now, did they say they glorified Jesus? No. They believed Jesus was a man, and God was operating through him. And so what? God did it. So these people believed that they would have an encounter with God when they came to Jesus. They would have an encounter with God. See, when Christians say this, don't look at me, look at God. If they had not looked to Jesus, they'd have never ran into God. Don't go around saying that demonic stuff. The church is Jesus Christ in the earth. If they don't look on us, what did Peter say at the gate? Beautiful. Look on us. He didn't say, don't look at me. Nice religious sayings that stop the power of God from moving. If a Christian came along to me and said, well, you know what, don't look at me, just look at God. I know one thing, you ain't going to get nothing, find anything out in them. God ain't showing up through that individual. Ain't nothing going to happen. Stay away from them. They should be able to run into God. Why would we be told to lay hands on the sick? Because they can come to us to get healed. Let me just tell you a story of a woman just coming to get healed. I was going to a church here in Lebanon. The Lord sent me to this church, and we went there, and it was just starting off, getting going. We were meeting in a small building, and that stuff that they had, it was a Presbyterian social hall on the north side of Lebanon. Presbyterian social hall, just a little bit. The place is still there, but it's not a Presbyterian social hall anymore. And anyhow, we were there in that meeting. A woman comes walking in the church one day. I hadn't seen her before. She walks up to me, comes into place before we start. She said, I heard you people pray for the sick. Would you pray for me? Well, we said, of course. She said, what we'll do is you, pastor will preach and stuff after the service. I said, we'll let the pastor know that you want to be prayed for, and we'll pray for you. And so we went up. At the end of the service, the pastor said about the woman coming up. He called me and a couple other guys, because we're going to lay hands on this woman. And so she told us. She had been to Hershey Medical Center. She was diagnosed with cancer. She's only given months to live. She had breast cancer, had gone through her body, it was in her lungs and in everything, and she was dying. And this woman said this, well, I heard you people pray for the sick, and she said, I believe God will heal me if you pray for me. See, she went to another church. Their church didn't pray for the sick. But she heard better than her church. Now here's a woman. Now this is the thing that really gets me. This is why I just marvel and wonder at the ignorance of people that sit around. Now, if she could come to a place of faith, why can't half of these other... What's going on with people they can't come to faith? She wasn't in this church that sat and preached it. She went to another church. She heard we prayed for the sick. Now, we did that. We had people got healed in that church. Now, there were stories that went out about people got healed in that church. There were stories and people were told about people getting healed. Well, she came there. And we laid hands on her, prayed for her. Didn't seem to think anything happened at all. Didn't seem nothing. Well, I talked to her later to find out what was going on, huh? You know, because I found out where she had lived and stuff. And asked her, well, here's what happened. Now, here's a woman of faith. Now, this is... She didn't get healed because we had great faith. We just obeyed the word of God, operated on faith. We laid hands on her. And we operated by faith. We believed that God wanted to, well, I believe totally God wanted to heal her. Well, she responded in faith. She went to the doctor at the dead center, went back up to the doctor. She went in there. This is what she said. I went in and told the doctor, I got healed. I had hands laid on me and God healed me. A doctor told her, he said, oh, he said, you don't need healing, you need a good doctor. And I said to her, next time you see him, tell that guy, he was the doctor who told you you're going to die. Tell him, and you see him again, you tell him, say, I guess I need to get a good doctor. You weren't one for sure. Because you couldn't do nothing for him. Some ignoramus. I mean, if I had a doctor ever said anything so stupid to me, I'd never go see him again. I mean, after. And she got healed. And I mean, I talked to her up to 5 years later, and that woman was still, well, she was an elderly woman. I mean, she's still around, still kicking, doing good. She was completely healed of her cancer. And she just showed up, came to the place, said if they prayed for me, that she would get healed. And she walked in and did it. And that's the most amazing thing. I mean, they taught healing in that church. And I know people in that church, they listen, they just could never get it. And she got it. She just said, if I come there, and they'll lay hands on me and I'll get healed. And Lord knows, she came and she did it. She got healed. I mean, wonderful, inspirational. But she came believing. She just sort of like this guy here in there, where these guys come and do this to him. They came in there. She just responded by faith. She believed that Jesus Christ would heal her. But she was looking for somebody to lay hands on her to do what the Bible said to do. That's what she was looking for. See, her church didn't do that. And so, really, Jesus, she got healed like she believed she could get healed. She'd have somebody lay hands on her and she could get healed. She got healed exactly the way she believed. Now, if she would have understood, she could have believed God herself and got healed. But she hadn't heard that. She probably watched some different things on TV or probably saw different people being ministered to in that manner. She probably saw it from a scriptural standpoint about laying hands on the sick and said, we'll do that. So she came to the church to do it. So people can believe if they want to. Well, she got healed, did absolutely fine. One thing that she did do, she said she was healed. But yet she didn't see all of her manifestation of healing. Her one breast was eaten up so bad. And was eaten up so bad, you know, she couldn't hardly move her one arm because the muscles and stuff were so deteriorated. She said the doctor, she went and was checked out by the doctor, and they still had that cancer, so there was still some cancer in that breast. And she said the doctor, because they couldn't find any, in other words, she said, I want that breast removed. She said, because I want to be able to, because I like to knit and do that kind of stuff. And that's well, when they turned around, they took her in to do the operation. They found out that the cancer wasn't extensive like they did. But they removed what was there. What there never came back. But she had complete use of her arm again. And she could knit. She was so happy because she loved to knit things. And so she could knit, do her knitting and stuff. And she loved to do that. He's God good. He's just so nice to people. But she believed, you know. But, you know, really, God did for her exceedingly abundantly above imagining what she could think. He went beyond. But see, she just responded in the areas of faith she understood. She responded where she could. And it's an encouragement. It's just like with Jesus. This guy, so he immediately rose up and went home. All these people, says they were amazed. They glorified God. They were filled with fear. But we don't find that the guy God healed was filled with fear. See, they were, look at this. Oh, look at this. See, they're instead of responding by faith, they aren't responding. They aren't responding to what's going on. We don't find anybody else gets healed here. You know, whoa, they did this. Isn't this something? Wow. Wasn't that something? Isn't that incredible? You know what? They didn't listen to a thing Jesus said. He didn't listen to nothing. He just gave them a revelation. But they didn't listen to it. They didn't hear his revelation. They believed in getting their sins forgiven. the only we can get down here and do it, but that healing stuff, there we get healed. If they believed in healing, what's wrong with you people? What's wrong here? Something's messed up. Something's wrong.
So, things really got, out of hand. But they didn't respond to it. But these guys came along and really, we see the fulfillment. Now these guys here, we found that, you know, Hebrews wasn't written till definitely sometime after all this event. But we see Hebrews 11:6 is fulfilledness. These guys came. They believed that Jesus Christ was a healer. They believed they came. They could get healing from God. They believed God would do it. And they came and got exactly what they asked for. They came and got exactly, they believed God would give it to them. And it happened. Just like they said. But I want to encourage you is the way that you believe it. And that's why, you know, I was always encouraging things is, I remember like with Pat when she had her bypass surgery. You know, we got together with Pat and talked to her about it. I wanted to find out where can you believe, or how can you believe that God would work for you? See, many people do it wrong. They try to get God to believe from where they're at. You don't get people to believe God from where you're at. You might be able to believe differently. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin, concerning his wife. His wife couldn't believe for an area for divine healing, but she could believe that she went to the doctor and had an operation. And the Lord told him, he said, don't try to get her to believe for you, Connor. You put your faith over where she can believe at. And he said, I'll take care of her. Well, get this thing done. And I learned that. I began to practice that with people and find out what can you believe. Now, you can do things to take your faith to a higher level. But the whole thing to do is find out where you can believe. The Bible says if two agree is but touching anything, they both must agree. So to get people in agreement, you got to go to the lowest level of faith, to where the person with the lowest level. Say you have three people, you want to agree? They all have to believe at the same point. You waste your time. It will not happen for you if everybody is not in agreement. When you all say you agree, that said a thing that all of you are in agreement. So you have to find out. See, I found this out. I found out to be careful who I'd say I would want to get to agree with me, because I found out sometimes people would say they would agree with me, but they weren't on the place of faith I was agreeing from. They lied. They couldn't agree with me from that place. See, some people, you'll find this all the time. You'll find it in the church world. There's all kind of games are played. People don't like to admit they couldn't believe for certain things. I've had people come to me and say, I want to believe for this. I told them, I don't know. I don't know. I can't go there. If you think you can go there, you go there. But I can't. I can't go there with you. I just, you know. Because sometimes two people get way out there on the thing. And, when, you know, it's one thing. Is I learned this. I mean, I'm not going to say I can believe for something I can't. That's not true. I ain't going to help my faith any doing that. So, if I operate from the level, and you find out for a person, people want to agree on something, well, whatever they can believe on. That's why Jesus, when he said to blind Bartimaeus, he said, can you believe I can do this? He said, yeah. Well, he says, as you believe, so it be unto you. He didn't say, as I believe it. You know, Jesus didn't even believe in getting sick. He never was sick. But Jesus agreed with him upon the area. If you can, you believe it, you got it. In other words, Jesus agreed on him with the area he was in. It's constantly. People came to Jesus, you know, the woman with the issue of blood. She got it exactly like she believed it. She operated. And so we see this all the time in operation. These people got it exactly the way that they believed it. So they operated it. And I just encourage you, find out where you can believe from. Don't put yourself in a place where you can't go in your faith, because you're going to end up disappointed. And all that does is hurt you from believing. You know, find out where you can stand. Sometimes I found out that if I wanted for it to change, I was going to have to stretch my faith out there. I was going to have to get myself in a position. I knew I was going to have to stretch out there on my faith. I couldn't go just for a little bit. I need to go for a bunch, and it requires me to stretch out there a bit. And you have to do that sometimes. Sometimes, naturally, it's not easy to stand in an area. It's not easy, because your mind will give you trouble. Sometimes in your heart you can believe something and your mind's really fighting you on it. But in your heart you know it's true. And it really can cause you a battle. But I know if I've learned it over time, that if I got it in my heart, I can go there. It may be a fight, but I can go there. My mind may battle me a lot, but I can go there. And sometimes you find too opposition from other people. When you start to step out into an area, you get opposition from people.
But you have to know that where you can stand at and what you can do. So always find that place. We find with these people, they came, everything time that they believed something, they were rewarded for that, whatever it was that they believed, they got rewarded. And so I want to encourage you in that thing is to operate in that area. Get this revelation of God. It's no easier to be healed than it is to get your sin forgiven. We teach people what God forgives your sins, so forget about it, don't we? We tell them don't let that. You know, just like on Sunday, yesterday I said to people, God forgives you. Don't walk around. Don't let that torment. Don't carry that with you. If you do, forgive yourself. People don't do it. They'll turn around and still hold it against themselves. See what this is? They have a hard time in the area of forgiveness. I don't know why it is today, but people have a terrible time about forgiveness. They have a terrible time in that area about forgiveness. And you get people over in that area, say, hey, you know, forgiven, forgiven. And with them having trouble, the areas of forgiveness, and maybe, boy, the healing part of it seems to even get worse. Because if you don't believe you have a trouble in that part, you're going to have, your own heart's going to condemn you, and you're going to have a trouble having faith to believe for healing. That's why you got to forgive yourself. God forgives you, you forgive you. See, be confident about that areas and those areas. And so do that. And be confident about whatever you ask God, He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. You ask anything the Father in Jesus' name, He'll do it for you. And become confident in that area. And get yourself set on the fact of the areas of healing, that God will heal you, just like in this man. What's easier, to forgive sin or to heal? Healing's easy. When I first got this revelation, in fact, I wasn't taught this by somebody. I hadn't heard somebody teach on this. I was just looking at the scripture, studying some of these things one day, and all of a sudden the Lord just showed me that and told me. And He just showed me, healing's easy to get. Well, see, most people don't believe healing's easy to get. That's not what they believe. People work at getting healed. They struggle at it. And that changed me. I never talked any different after that than healing's easy to get. It's easy to be healed. It's an easy thing for me to get my sins forgiven. That's the easiest thing in the world. As a Christian, if I sin, He said, if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive it. Well, is that hard? Well, it's not hard, is it? It's not hard. When we tell people, now this is hard to do. It's hard to go ask Him to forgive you. It's hard. My God, it's hard to do. And He said He'll forgive you, but it's hard. Hard to get it. Well, we'd never say that to anybody. He said, what's harder? To do that or to say, you're healed? Which is the hardest to do? And now when I got that, I began to change how I viewed it. Healing's easy to get. If you don't get that, healing's always going to be something you're going to struggle to get at, to try to get to. It's going to be a struggle. Don't let it be a struggle. Don't talk it. Healing's not hard to get. And say it. Get that on your voice. Learn to talk that. Well, praise God. Healing is easy to get. Hallelujah. I can get it healed as fast as I can get my sins forgiven. And when I used to teach on the life of Christ, I used to use this. I've told you this before. I would use this example, and I'd constantly ask students, and always the majority would always get it wrong. I'd say, which is the easiest to do? I'd have them read this. Which is the easiest to do? Get your sins forgiven or get healed? Every time. Every time. Students would put down, it is easier to get your sins forgiven. And then I'd just take them over here and I'd tell them about being their scribes and Pharisees. I said, you didn't get it. You ain't nothing but a scribe or Pharisee. You don't read the Bible. You have your religious traditions. And when you read the Bible, that's all you see is your religious traditions. I said, Jesus Christ gave you a revelation that healing is not no harder than getting your sins forgiven. And you just said, He didn't tell the truth. You said He lied on the deal. You're believing what the scribes and Pharisees believe. You believe the same bunk and junk. You have religious traditions. And don't have them. When you see these things in the Bible they're teaching, what's easier to do? They're both the same. They're both done by faith. One of us isn't done some other way and one's done another way and it's harder to do. It isn't like going out of here, you know, and I'm going to walk up this slight grade up here, or I'm going to climb Mount Everest. Well, it would sure be harder to climb Mount Everest than it would to be walk up the grade outside the house there, wouldn't it? Well, I'm sorry. It is no difference in the areas of faith. It doesn't require more faith to get your sins forgiven or to be healed. It just requires faith. And this is where people run into. They just don't have faith for it. They don't have faith. They believe they're going to have a hard time at it. And that's one thing, as I found out, that really helps people. If they come and they want ministry, it's easy to get healed. We don't tell people it's hard to get saved, do we? Well, it's a hard thing to get saved. Well, this might take a good, you know, 2 or 3 years just to work out in here, because God will save you in His good time. Man, who knows when that's going to happen? Wow. We don't tell them that. And that's why we discourage people in faith. We discourage their faith. If they want to be healed, we tell them it's hard. Basically, we treat it like it's hard to do. Well, let's see what God's going to do. And then we pray like we're trying to twist His arm to get Him to do it. Paul says a prayer of faith will heal the sick. A prayer of faith is what? We believe we receive it. You lay your hands on the person and say, I believe you receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. That's what I believe. That's the prayer of faith. If that hasn't been said, the prayer of faith was never prayed. Most people I've ever seen hands laid on about people pray prayers that are not the prayer of faith. They never say they believe they receive. They never say a thing about that. They're always on the side of getting God to heal them. That's what they're always talking about. No, we believe the healing power of God's going in this body right now in the name of Jesus, bringing a healing and a cure. It's happening right now. No, they're praying like, well, we're trying to get God to do this. Maybe we just twist His arm. I don't know. Maybe let's get a prayer team to do it. We could all twist His arm. I don't think I can twist it enough by myself. Maybe if I get some people to agree with me, we can get Him in a good lock. You can get Him in a headlock, and then I'll twist His arm. Okay? Okay, say He's healed. Say He's healed. Come on, do it. Always tell people, it's easy to get healed. It's easy. And it is. It's the simplest thing in the world. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank You this morning for these wonderful revelations that are put in Your Scripture for us. And they're put there, Lord God, so we can walk in all this great blessing that You have for us. You've already provided, because all the promises are yes and amen. So they already belong to us. Thank You for it. Thank You so much for the promises. Thank You, Father God. Father, as we look this morning, I think we're encouraged. Father, I want to thank You. Sickness and disease can't hang around us. It can't stay around us. I want to thank You. Health and soundness in our body is what we got in Jesus' name. Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus, I just want to say thank You for doing that for us, so we don't have to bear them, so we don't have to have them. Hallelujah. Sickness, You're an enemy. And we don't have to put up with no enemies. Hallelujah. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Thank You for freeing us. Thank You for wellness and soundness and wholeness. Hallelujah. We just praise You, Father God, for a total 100% deliverance through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank You for revealing these things to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.